North Shore 104.9 WBOQ Gloucester.
And streaming worldwide on the North Shore 104.9 app.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you doing this morning? It is cold out there. I got out in my car, popped open the garage, and I was like, oh my goodness, it is chilly out there. But at least the snow wasn't too hard to shovel. Not that I shoveled my driveway, that's what the plow does, but I did shovel the front walk yesterday and got that done, and hopefully we can get, it's nice to have the sun out and get on with our day. But today, what is the day today? It is the weekend after Valentine's Day, so we're in the somewhere around there. In the middle of February, but last week we had Laura on the show, my wife Laura, for our Couples and Money show, and we had so much fun doing it that I actually told Laura to stay in bed. No, it's not that I told her, they didn't want her to come, but I had another visitor that swung by the house last night, and it was my daughter and daughter Mindy, and so I thought, well, why not? Well, let's do a daughters and dads show. So Mindy is with me this morning. Good morning, Mindy. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good. When was the last time you were on this radio show?
I must have been in college, probably like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, because you're an old kid now, right?
Yeah, I turn 25 next month. It's a very, very sensitive topic.
See, I wasn't going to bring up your age, but you chose to do it, so now it's been captured forever. So everybody knows that you're now 24, soon to be turning 25.
Yes, March 23rd. Very, very soon.
Would you give the date so you could hope that the people will send you cards and birthday presents? Is that what,
maybe.
Nice. So an interesting story with that is that Mindy, as many of you know, I have 5 children. Mindy is my oldest. My daughter, Alana, shares the same birthday as Mindy. Isn't that right?
Yes, 2 years apart to the day. She likes to claim that she was my birthday present. However, my comeback is always, you're supposed to like your present. Not that I don't like my sister, but I would love to have my own birthday.
Yep, so you've shared it with your sister, but now you both live in 2 different locations, so you can celebrate your birthdays any way you want, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this year has to be better than last year, because last year on our birthday was the lowest day in the stock market. It was the weekend right after kind of COVID became a real thing, I guess. So that was a little scary. It was before people knew, like, to do birthday drive-by parades, and me and my roommate were just locked in our apartment, and we're like, okay, I guess this is our life for the future.
It's your life for the next year, and who knew it was going to last this long? But hopefully we are heading in the right direction. Vaccines are beginning to be distributed, though I think we'd all like to see the vaccines distributed a little bit quicker, certainly here in Massachusetts, but we're getting there, and a little bit of patience, and we will soon get through this, and hopefully we can head back to doing what we really want to do. Mindy, what's one of the things that you can't wait to do once the air is cleared and we can get back out there?
So I know that a lot of restaurants right now, you can sit at a bar, but the plexiglass is up and you have to be kind of separated and you can't really be there for more than 90 minutes. But I am so excited to just call one of my friends and just spontaneously go to a bar and sit at the bar and not worry about the 90-minute limit.
Why? Because you're going to sit at the bar for longer than 90 minutes?
I might, because I'm not going to have someone kicking me out, so I could do whatever I wanted.
Well, I'm looking forward to just going back to the theater. I mean, that's my big thing. I love going to the theater. I can't wait for the North Shore Music Theater to open. I can't wait for Broadway to open. I can't wait to go to a ball game. I want to cheer for my team rather than for my couch. I'd like to cheer for my team in person with a whole bunch of strangers. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. That will come soon enough. But today's show is dedicated to dad and daughter money talk. So, you know, many, as we all well know, many of the schools here in our area do not provide personal finance as a mandatory curriculum in the classes. It's an elective for some at some high schools. And I know, Mindy, did you take the personal finance course at North Andover?
I didn't. I think I took business management and maybe one other course. They do have junior achievement in the elementary schools. I don't know if that's still a thing.
Yeah, sure,
now,
sure
but,
it is, yeah.
So that was kind of like my intro, I guess, to personal finance through kind of the Massachusetts schooling system. But no, I did not take that class in high school.
So it's been up to parents, your mom and I, and parents that are listening to this show to try to provide advice, financial advice in a language our children can understand so that they can be productive citizens when they get out into the real world. So I thought today we would spend some time, you and I, just kind of talking back and forth, talking about advice that perhaps we've given you, or maybe you have some financial questions that you'd like to bounce off of me here on the radio rather than sitting at the on the couch at home or around the dinner table. The other thing we can do is if people want to call in, we are here live in studio today. Our phone number, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. If you have some questions about teaching your kids about money, maybe your kids are listening. And when I say kids, Mindy, what do you consider as a kid?
It depends. If you're talking young kids, maybe like under 13. But I think that when it comes to spending money, probably anyone under 30.
Well, there you go. So you're still considered a kid, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm in the process of exploring purchasing a condo, but I would still say that I feel like a child as I'm doing that because I don't know anything about it.
So here you are at 24 years old, because you've given away your age now. Mm-hmm. At 24 years old, you're thinking about purchasing a condo. So what are some of the things that go through your head as you think about purchasing a condo? Most kids, there's many people at age 24 years who are 24 years old that are still living at home. And you're already out in an apartment. You've been there for a few years, and now you want to buy a condo.
Yeah, so I would say the number one deciding factor on me wanting to buy a condo was, instead of continuously paying rent into this abyss that I never see again and just throw money away, why not invest in myself? And I'm very fortunate where I'm in the position where I can have this conversation and decide that buying a condo might make sense to me. But it's been kind of a process, and we've been discussing it since October. It's now almost March, and we're hoping to close in June, and we're still kind of unsure what's going to happen.
Close on what? You don't even have an option.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem. we have places I'm looking at, but it's still figuring out what things mean, figuring out what all the fees mean. How does a mortgage actually work? What is the down payment percentage? If you do less than 20%, what are the extra fees that are associated? If you do more than 20%, what's the benefit?
So you're asking a lot of good questions. I mean, are those questions that, you know, we've kind of talked about that, you and I, and you're beginning to get some better guidance on that. But it's still, at the end of the day, comes down to what can you afford, right?
Yeah. And it's tricky because this is going to be my home for probably the next 5 to 10 years, right? So what I'm going to be able to afford 5 to 10 years from now is going to be different than today. But if I'm signing today and paying for it today, then we need to think of it more presently.
That's right. And then you have to also decide, if you want to buy a condo, is it something that you want to live alone? Do you want to have a roommate? I mean, those are big decisions, right?
Yeah. And does a two-bedroom make more sense because down the line it's a better resale value? And are we going to be working from home forever? Luckily, I'm in a position where I get to go into my office a couple days a week. So that's been really nice to get out of my apartment. And me and my roommate actually have our desks next to each other. And I'm on the phone all day for work, so she gets to listen to my voice all day long. So she likes when I go into the office. But in this new apartment, do I want an area to have as a home office? So we'll see.
A lot of things to think about. And as you begin thinking about a condo, you know, one of the things that people say, well, like you mentioned the idea of you're throwing money away by putting this into this abyss by renting. There is this belief that real estate only goes up. And I think I've warned you several times that real estate doesn't generally go in one direction. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have to be careful of is because interest rates are so low, I'm hearing music in my ears. Are you hearing music in your ears?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. So as interest rates go up, the value of homes can oftentimes go down. And the reason for that is when interest rates go up, the cost of a mortgage is more, and you can't borrow as much money. And so we are in a situation right now where interest rates are very, very low. And so you know that if you wanted to borrow money, it's very, very cheap, and the amount that you'd have to pay per month is pretty inexpensive. But selling it 5 or 10 years later, when interest rates are a little higher, you may not make that profit that you thought you were going to make. So we always have to be mindful of that as well.
Yeah, which is something that's interesting, because when we originally talked about this, I think it was back in October, and interest rates were maybe like 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Mom kept saying that when you bought your first house, interest rates were like, what, 11% or something?
I think our first was 9.25% is what we paid.
Yeah. So a very big difference. And that's something to factor into the price as well. If the interest rates are so low, you want to make sure that it still makes sense what you're affording.
So oftentimes people ask me, so Mark, how do I decide what is the eligible percentage? How do I pre-qualify for a mortgage? What do I need to figure out? So one of the pieces of advice that I've given to you, and many banks and mortgage brokers will provide this advice as well, I want you to take a look at what your gross income is. And so let's assume someone made $100,000. What is 28% of that gross income? Well, that number is, of course, $28,000. So you take that number, $28,000, and divide that by 12. So that's going to give you your monthly amount. So it's a little bit more than $2,000 a month. That's just using those as general numbers. That is probably the most amount of money that a lender is going to want you to, they're going to allow you to spend on a mortgage. So a little bit more than $2,000 a month. And that has to cover principal and interest on your mortgage, property tax, and the insurance. So those three things. So you first have to ask yourself, number one, how much am I willing to spend on a monthly basis for a mortgage, property tax, and insurance? And if that number is under 28%, you have to ask yourself, okay, is that affordable? Can I do that? And the other part is sometimes people have other loans that are out there. Maybe you have a car payment. Maybe you still have a student loan. Well, all of those other payments that you're making all still have to fit under, let's say, 32%. So we have to be very careful. That is how a lender is going to determine what that allows you to spend. So if it's $2,000 a month that they say you're eligible to spend, we'll take that $2,000 a month. They stick it into their computer. And it comes back to say, well, at $2,000 a month, you could borrow upwards of $300,000 for a mortgage. I don't have that number in front of me because the rates change all the time. But that's how they figure it out. So if you're wondering how you pre-qualify for something, figure out first, what is 28% of my gross income? Take that number. And if you go to our website at Friedman Financial, we have some resources and some calculators there. One is an amortization calculator where you could put in that amount of money every month and it will tell you approximately what kind of mortgage you might qualify for. You'd find it on the resources tab in our newsletter. And I think you've looked at that. We've looked at that a few times, haven't we, Mindy?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of mortgage brokers, too, will provide you with an app that you can kind of put in all that information so you can see exactly the rate they would be giving you from the bank. And something else to keep in mind, which I don't know if everyone on the radio knows this, and I'm the only one who didn't know, but the condo association fees are pretty interesting because there might be a building where the price makes sense for the condo, but when you look at the association fee, it might be $750 versus the condo that was maybe a little bit more expensive, but their fee's only $200 a month. So that's something to really think about when you're trying to figure out what your mortgage is going to be each month, because that association fee is going to be staying there and is only going to go up. That's not going down.
That's right. The principal and interest are likely to stay the same, but that condo fee is certainly likely to go up because you're an owner in a partial owner in that whole building. And so it's important to know that. And so some of the other things to think about is how much money are you willing to put down on a condo?
Mm-hmm.
How much willing are you willing to put down? What's the right way to go about doing that? Well, that and many other answers to questions will be addressed further on in the show today. Today is our Dollars and Cents Dads and Daughters show. But before we take a break, I want to remind you about our newsletter that we put out every Friday at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name and your email address, and you'll get our newsletter landing right into your inbox every Friday morning at 10:30. You'll join the other 7,500 subscribers who are part of this newsletter team. Where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more dads and daughters talk about money. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the fabulous Daniela's Ristorante. And you actually just heard an ad for Daniela's, part of the North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Ristorante, Daniela's Cafe, and Polana Steakhouse. Laura and I went to Polana last Sunday. Had a great dinner there. We love going to these restaurants. And I know many people are still very cautious about going to restaurants and with the pandemic as it exists right now. But I will tell you, one of the things that I see from so many people who show up to these restaurants and they go for the first time is they realize, oh my goodness, this is a lot safer than I thought it was going to be. Remember, the pictures that you generally see in the news of these crowded bars and crowded restaurants are not the typical restaurants. Remember, the news is in the business of shocking you. It's about shock value. It's about making sure that you stay tuned to their radio station. You won't see an ad or a story this week on Channel 5 that will say a plane landed safely at Logan Airport, or 9,000 children got home safely from school. Those are not stories that you will see on the news. All they want to do is they want to show you stories that really scare you. Now, it's important, of course, that we take this virus and COVID-19 seriously, to wear your mask, wash your hands, watch your surroundings. But if you've been thinking about going out to a restaurant, if you haven't been out just yet, I'd encourage you to take a look. Many, and I should say most, restaurants have done an extraordinary job of really making the environment safe. They want you to come back. But what they've also gotten very good at is the takeout business. And I don't think they had any expectation that they'd be doing as much takeout as they're doing, but they're doing it well. And I hope you will spend some money. People have been saving a lot of money during this pandemic, and I hope you get out and support our local businesses. That's really, really important. But like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and we're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And joining me today in studio is my daughter, Mindy. And we are here doing a little dad and daughters segment. And Mindy's been asking me some questions about money. We've been getting some great advice from her as well. And I know during the last segment, we were talking about the likelihood that you're going to buy a condo this year. And we talked about financing. And now we have to start talking about the down payment, right?
Yeah. So from my understanding, a down payment is supposed to be 20%, but mm-hmm. I know some banks will allow you to pay 3% for a down payment.
Some it's 1%. They'll take next to nothing.
So what are the pros and cons? What should you actually be doing? Because I know If you pay below 20%, you might have more fees, but what makes the most sense?
Well, first things first is you need to figure out what are you comfortable first spending on a monthly basis for that mortgage cost. But in order to get the better mortgage or be able to get into a place that you want to go into, you're going to have to put some money down. And yeah, I recommend, just like you do, Mindy, like you had mentioned, 20%. And if you don't have 20%, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't buy the place, but know that you're going to pay more money. Because if you put down less than 20%, you generally have to get what's called primary mortgage insurance. It's called PMI. And that's an extra fee that you paid to buy an insurance policy to make sure that the bank gets their mortgage paid off if you can't pay for your mortgage.
So when you eventually get to the 20% down payment, that, let's say you pay your mortgage for a couple of months, you put down 18%. You now have paid your mortgage for however many months, and you now, your principal of it has gotten over that 20% marking. Do you still pay that PMI insurance?
Well, that's a good question, but the reality is that that's not quite how it works. So let's say you put down 15%, and you figure, well, now I've been in my house for 3 years, and with all this monthly payment that I've been making, I must now have at least 20% equity in my home. Well, there's two factors that come into play. Number one is when you're paying your mortgage the way that an amortization schedule works, for the first 10 years or so, every payment that you're making is primarily interest payments, not principal payments. You're really not paying towards the equity of your home. Secondarily, like I told you, the value of a house can go up or down. The value of a condo can go up or down. So if you wanted to try to eliminate your PMI insurance after, say, 3 or 5 years, you have to go and have another appraisal done to be determined whether you actually have 20% or more in equity in your home. And that's not always the case either. So just because you're making the payments on a monthly basis doesn't guarantee that you're building equity in your home, because the value of your house could drop. Initially, when you're starting to put money into the condo, it's mostly interest. And you'll see that on an amortization schedule. In fact, if you go to our website at FriedmanFinancial.com, that's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. There's a resources tab, and one of those things is called an amortization schedule. So you can put in any type of a hypothetical mortgage in there, and it'll show you a report that says over the next 30 years, if let's say you were paying $2,000 a month for your principal and interest, the first couple of years, you might be paying $300 towards principal and $1,700 towards interest. And you might say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to pay more towards principal rather than interest. Well, sorry, that's not how that works. And that's why when you get into the latter few years, the last, let's say, 10 years of your mortgage, it's mostly principal. But oftentimes people don't get that far because they refinance and refinance and refinance. Now, I'm not a big fan of continuously refinancing, especially if you're going to make your mortgage continuously making it 30 years. So let's say, Mindy, you're about to get a mortgage at a condo, and you wanted to buy a traditional 30-year mortgage, and you've been in this condo for 30 years, I mean, for 5 years, and you've heard that the rate just dropped. And you said, oh, someone told me I could pay less by refinancing. And now the mortgage starts for another 30 years. So your mortgage would be 35 years. Is that what you want?
So what I'm hearing here is that just because someone says that they've heard something doesn't mean it's necessarily true, and you always want to be talking to a professional when it comes to things like this.
Ooh. So what made you think of that, Mindy?
Well, I know when you talk about financial planning, the importance of working with fiduciary, with someone who has your best interests in mind, is definitely a big proponent. And that's something that, I'm the oldest of five kids. That's something my parents have really ingrained in us from a young age. But something that's kind of exciting this week, and not to change the topic, but Forbes just came out with their top advisor list. And a lot of these top advisors lists you might see through other companies, that's something that people have to pay to be on. You've seen like the top ratings, like even if it's a restaurant, whatever it might be, you're paying to be on it. The way Forbes does it, though, is they reach out to a handful of advisors. They interview them. Then they interview them again. You have to fill out this whole form. And then from there, they rank it. And it's a surprise. You don't know if you're going to end up on the list, nor do you know where you're going to end up on the list. But this week is very exciting because my dad and Friedman Financial are actually number 18 for Massachusetts, excluding Boston. So that was very exciting this week. And
wow. That was pretty good. I mean, I don't even think Biff knew about that. So Biff just threw in the Thank you for the live studio audience for joining in and clapping for that. But thank you. I didn't know you were going to bring that up, Mindy. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, but I think the importance of working with a professional when it comes to whether it's buying a condo, buying a house, buying a car, sending your kids to college, or anything else, really, it's important that we recognize that sometimes we don't have all the answers. And even if you think you do, and even if you are a financial person yourself and you work wherever and you deal with finances, that doesn't mean that you can take your emotions out of it. And that's why it's really important to go to someone who can sit there, give you rational advice, especially during emotional times.
Wow, you sound like you've actually listened to me before.
Just once or twice.
Yeah, thank you, Mindy. That was very nice. Yeah, we were pretty honored to get listed in the Forbes magazine list. We've been listed for many years. We actually moved up to ranking number 18. And as I looked at the list, I was very proud to see that of all of the planners that are there, and they listed the top 100 in Forbes magazine, we are the only independent financial advisor from the top 18 on the North Shore. Others are affiliated with major brokerage firms, but we are the only independent financial advisor. But interesting, Mindy, as you were talking about condo fees and association fees, one of our listeners just texted me and he wanted me to provide you some advice. He says, you may want to let Mindy know about the ability for condo associations to also issue assessments in addition to condo fees. Also, it's important to research the association finances to make sure that they hold adequate reserves. And I think you were told that by the broker that you were working with, weren't you? Didn't you?
Yeah, so I work with Fran Bylis. She's wonderful. She's on Facebook. She's on Instagram, all of that nonsense if you want to look her up. But she talked to me a lot about that, and that's something you really want to make sure you're looking into, because let's say you move into the condo and then they reach out to you and say, oh, we're repainting the building. You owe this much money. You don't get to argue that. That is now just something you have to do. And that's something that you want to make sure you're researching. And again, another industry where it's important to work with a professional. And even if you've researched real estate a lot and that's your hobby, that's great. But you need to take your emotions out of it and make sure you have somebody else reading through these papers, asking the questions that you might not know to ask because you just get too excited. And that's okay. But that's why you need to make sure you're bringing someone else into the equation.
Yeah, it's really important to sometimes bring a professional to provide you with that rational advice during emotional times. I mean, it's so critical because these are big decisions. These are long-term decisions that we're making. And just as this texter Bob had sent me as the message to you, is that you also want to make sure that these condos have reserves. You want to be able to take a look at their financial statements and make sure that there's adequate reserves to cover things like painting, you know, every 5 or 6 years. I mean, that's kind of what your condo fee is also supposed to go towards, is building up those reserves to replace the windows when it's necessary, all of that stuff. So, all right. So we continue to provide more and more questions. I know you had a list of questions on there, Mindy. What else is on your list of stuff?
Yeah. So as we announced the first segment, I'm turning 25 next month, which, again, very sensitive topic. But I know a lot of people, when they turn 25, maybe that's when they start thinking about buying a car. And maybe you've had a car since you were 16 and it's now been 9, 10 years that car has been driving and it's time to buy a new one. Luckily, I'm in a situation where, despite how poor of a driver I am, my car's in great shape. I don't know how, but it is. But what about the people who want to buy a car? How do you recommend going about that?
Well, buying a car, you know, there's of course three different ways in which you can buy a car. You can pay cash for a car, you can finance a car, and you can lease a car. Now, the best way to actually, many people are heading towards this lease arrangement. They love the lease payment because it's the cheapest way to own a car. And it is. But remember, after 3 years or 4 years or whatever your lease payment might be, you turn the car back in and you get nothing for it. So if we were to change the word lease to rent, would you still get the car that way? If you had a choice of buying a car, financing a car, or renting a car, would you feel a little bit different about renting a car?
So I like immediate satisfaction, so I would definitely want to buy a car. But I know that you lease cars,
mm-hmm.
or you lease your car, and I think mom's car we buy. So
right.
What is the reasoning behind that?
Well, the reason that we do that is, first of all, from my business, the business leases one of the cars. And so the business makes a monthly payment, and frankly, I like to have a new car every 3 years or so. It's not something that I need. It's something that I want, right? From mom's perspective, we go out and we buy her car. I don't even finance the car. We buy the car so that we can then trade it in 3 or 4 years so mom can buy another car. Mom likes to have a new car as well. Now, for someone who's 25, do you need to have a new car at 25 years old?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? But so that becomes the difference between wanting something and needing something.
So I know one of the things we want to talk about today is something that you and mom have taught me and the other four children about how to deal with money. And I think that difference between what you need and what you want is very important.
You're right. What do you mean by that?
So let's say you really like this jacket and you really want to buy the jacket. It's not a winter coat. It's more of a fashion statement. Do you need it or do you want it? And I think that every purchase you make that's frivolous needs to kind of go through your head as a, okay, how many times am I going to wear this? Is it worth the price? Divide the total price by how many times you're going to wear it. And does that make sense? And is it something you're going to use? And really think about your purchases before you make them.
Well, take a look at a car. I mean, a car is something you're going to use every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a car is something that, you know, you don't mind spending money on because it's a valuable resource that you need to allow your day and your lifestyle to happen. But do you need to buy a new car? Or is it a used car? What's the difference? A lot of times, it's more of an ego thing. I want to have the newest technology in my car. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, you can even, what is it now, 2021? You could buy a 2020 car that maybe has all of 5,000 miles on it, and the price drops dramatically.
Yes, it does.
And why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
And the technology is pretty in line.
And I actually believe that with financing rates as low as they are right now, I think someone who plans to own a car for 3 years or more is probably better off financing the car if you don't have the financial resources to buy the car outright. I'd much rather see someone stretch out the use of a car as long as they can rather than be forced to have to make a decision as they're approaching the deadline date on their leased car. And I think that's a smart decision, though it may cost you a little bit of money, but you're holding equity in your car as well. Yes, there's a lot of the profit, as you well know, when you drive a car off the lot, the value of the car drops pretty dramatically. But when you actually have your car for a period of time, you're still owning some value in that car that you could trade it in at some point. And I think financing, especially with rates being as low as they are, there's so many dealerships here that offer some great programs, especially for first-time buyers. You know, if you're in your 20s and you're looking to buy your first car, I know the guys over at Michaud Mitsubishi, for instance, Kevin Michaud and Zach Michaud, I know they're advertisers here on the radio. They've actually sold us two cars. Noah bought a car there. Alana has bought a car there. I mean, what a great experience we've had over there. I know if you want to buy a used car, CarMax offers up some great programs over there as well. But there are some great local dealerships here as well that I would encourage you to go visit. And you believe it or not, during COVID times right now, you might think, who's buying a car? Did you know that car sales are one of the leading items that have been purchased this year during COVID?
I mean, amongst my friends, and again, I'm in my 20s, but amongst my friends, off of the top of my head, I can think of four or five different people who have bought new cars in the past year.
Yeah, and you can do it safely, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's really remarkable how car sales have really done so well. And we thought it was all going to stop in March and April of last year. It's really picked up and done so well because of technology. People have been able to do that. But you want to be able to make smart decisions. And I think you can become a very, very informed buyer when it comes to purchasing a car. But we've got to take a quick break. I want to make sure that we've got room to talk about all the things we want to do, but we do have to take station breaks because that's required here at the show. Our phone number here, 978. I'm sorry. I was about to give you my cell phone number. the phone number here at the studio, if you'd like to call in, 800-370-1049, 800-370-1049. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, it's more Dad and Daughter Talk with Mark Friedman and Mindy Friedman right here on North Shore 104.9.
Never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
As you prepare for retirement, we know that your financial hopes and dreams are important to you. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? You need a plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced, and we're fiduciaries. We listen, we collaborate, and we deliver a plan that helps you sleep at night. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us to ask why and how and what if. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
That voice you hear right now is my son, Noah Friedman, with his most recent release called Blue XL Sweatshirt. You can pick it up on Spotify. You can download the song. Just search for Noah Friedman, N-O-A-H, and Friedman is Friedman, two E's and a D. Not financial, just to Noah Friedman, two E's and a D, man. So you can find him and take a look. He's got a couple songs that he's downloaded. In fact, Noah, I just found out on Spotify, now has, you can listen to Noah Friedman Radio. So, did you know that, Mindy?
Yeah, I did. And it actually pulls in the songs. So, each radio is going to look different. So, my radio for Noah versus my roommate's radio for Noah is going to have the songs that I would more so like that are his style. And then she has her own listing. It's very cool. Highly recommend it.
So, the voice that you're hearing is my daughter, Mindy, my oldest daughter, who is joining me here in studio for a Dads and Daughters Talk this Sunday morning. And Mindy has been peppering me with questions. And we've been talking about advice for young people, and we were talking about what does it mean to be a young person, or even I use the term kid. and so you thought being a kid, especially when it comes to money, you thought is what?
Under 30, probably, because I think that, and no one warned me about this part when I graduated college and like started working and everything, but you really don't know what you're doing ever. And I'm 24, and I would still say, I don't really know what I'm doing.
And I think you are so far ahead from so many people who actually, you know, try to handle their own finances. Look, you've been living on your own almost immediately out of college, right?
Yeah, I mean, my parents actually moved into a new house when I graduated.
Not because of me.
It's a whole long story.
That's a whole
but
other
they
story, right.
Moved into a new house when I graduated, and I had 2 weeks before I was moving into my apartment, and it was a good thing, because in the new house, I end up staying in the guest room or my sister's room. So good thing I had my own apartment.
Yeah, but so it's so rare that kids graduating college, first of all, kids graduating college even have a job, and you had that lined up, but you also had an apartment lined up.
Yeah, it was great, and I think that you learn a lot living on your own. Well, I lived with two roommates, but living outside of your parents' house that young is really important.
What are some of the things you learned?
I learned how tired you are after commuting. Granted, we don't have this issue anymore, I guess, but commuting to and from work, and then you get home and you have to make dinner. And I remember when I was younger and my mom would say, okay, Mindy, make sure you take the chicken out of the freezer to defrost it. And then I'd forget, and then she'd be really mad at me. And I just never understood that, because I was like, okay, like, I forgot, whatever. And now that I'm an adult, I get annoyed with myself, obviously, if I'm in that situation. And I think you just start to appreciate your parents a little bit more.
Hold on. Can you just say that one more time, please?
You appreciate your parents a little bit more when you don't necessarily live at home and you start to realize how much they really do for you.
Yeah, people will always say, especially young couples that don't have children, how much your life changes when you have a child. And the kids will never understand that until either they have children of their own, or certainly when they're living on their own. There's a lot of decisions to make. I mean, something breaks in your apartment, and now you have to fix it, right?
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever saw a mouse in my old apartment. Granted, our new apartment is very clean. No mice. It's excellent. But our old apartment was definitely a very old building in Brookline, Massachusetts, and there were a lot of mice. And the first time I saw one, I called my dad, pretty much hysterical. And he was like, sorry, Mindy, like, this is what happens. Call your landlord. You'll figure it out. Which was not the answer I wanted and did not work well for me. But, yeah, you learn a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, Mindy, look, you have a lot of friends. You graduated North Andover High School. Then you graduated Babson College after that. But, you know, you're still connected to many of your friends from high school. And each of them have different money experiences compared to you as well. Some of them still living at home with their parents, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. I would say when I was younger, my best friend, Melissa, she is the one who really kind of taught me about the idea of just entirely saving your paycheck. Because she, out of all my friends, was the first one to start working when we were 15. And she saved her entire paycheck. It just went into a savings account. And that was a concept that I wasn't really entirely familiar with yet because I didn't have a job at that point. And she would only spend the money that she got for birthdays or Christmas. Everything else went into the savings account. And it's very admirable the way that she is able to kind of be regimented about that. And it's funny because now at 25, she had to buy a new car. Her car broke down. And a lot of people my age, if that happens, you don't know what to do because you don't have extra money to just spend on a car, surprisingly. But because Melissa's so good about saving money, she was able to just buy a new car and didn't even have to really think about it because that's what she's been saving for. She knows that there's going to be events that you don't always have planned.
Yeah, it's you have to plan appropriately. And you've always been a go-getter. Look, you've been working since what, 16, 15 years old?
Yeah, ever since I was like old enough to really babysit and like get myself there, whether it was my mom driving me when I was on my permit or whatever, I love kids. So I've always been a babysitter when I was younger and then started working.
But you started, you found an internship. The idea, you know, I start talking to some of my other kids. Look, Jerry's junior at University of Miami, and we're talking to him about finding an internship for the summer. And he's like, yeah, I'll get there. I'll do it. But you had an internship before you, I think, even started your freshman year at college, didn't you?
Yeah. So I'm a very, very driven person. And if I want something, I'm going to make sure it happens. So for a while, I wanted to be an event planner. And I found a company that my dad was familiar with, reached out. It was an unpaid internship. And I would drive into Boston. And it was like a 4-hour commute because it was back in the day when there was a lot of traffic. Remember those days when people were on the road?
They used to take the commuter rails into town sometimes too, right?
Yeah, but so that was for some of my later internships. But this one, it was actually in the Seaport District. And that was before the Seaport District was really a thing. So we had a free parking lot. Imagine that, a free parking lot in the Seaport District in Boston. So I would drive into work every day, 2 hours there and 2 hours back, unpaid. But I would accredit that internship with not only kind of all of my jobs that I've gotten post that, because I learned from such a young age how to handle a professional setting, but also getting into college, because that's something that I was able to talk about, and just having a good story of you want something and you get it done.
Well, speaking about that, and some experiences you got in college that have helped you with the jobs that you've had following, what are some of those skill sets that you really appreciate, that you're thankful that you got in college, that you can now apply in the real world today in jobs?
So as my dad mentioned, I went to Babson, and I think something Babson does an excellent job of is preparing you for an interview and also preparing you for just how to handle yourself professionally. A lot of my friends joke around about that. If you want an email written really well, just ask somebody who went to Babson and they will write that email well for you and you will get the response you want, because a lot of it is just how you hold yourself. And even the importance of remembering that, yes, even when you're doing a job, you're all people too. On a Monday morning, ask someone how their weekend was. On a Friday, ask if anybody has fun weekend plans, and add in that human aspect of it, but make sure that you also know when to take things seriously and when to get things done.
Yeah, I think you found it very interesting, even in the jobs that you've had, when you get emails from other people, the way other people respond to your emails, the way they respond to a text you might send, it's a little different from the way you might respond, right?
Yeah. That's always surprising to me because I'm very good about starting an email with, hi, whoever, hope you're doing well. And when someone just sends you an email and needs something done, and that is the only context, not thanks, not if you have time, whatever it might be, it's kind of a little bit off-putting. And remembering to talk to people the way that you would want to be talked to is important.
Yeah,
the extra 2 seconds it takes you to write thank you or please or whatever, that goes a long way.
I think it's really important. And I know that Spelling does count, doesn't it, Marion? I almost called you Marion. Marion's my business partner. She has been in the studio the past few weeks, but I can't believe I just called you Marion, Mindy.
Mindy, Marion.
Yeah.
Yeah, spelling goes a long way. I mean, maybe I'm too critical, but there are certain emails I get. Like on Friday, I got an email from someone, and it was very demanding. And I was just so taken aback. And I was like, wow, that was really cryptic. And everybody else who was on the team who saw the email come in from an outside client was like, what do you mean? That wasn't a big deal. And I was like, that's just not how I would ever speak to someone.
And well, one of the other things I think you've learned being in the business world right now is how important it is to make sure that you realize that everything that you put in an email or a text could be shared somewhere else.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to young people about that, especially in the world of Instagram and Facebook and however else they posted stuff?
Yeah. So I actually have an interesting story on that. One of the people I work with used to message me all the time saying that she really wanted a raise, but she would message it to me on our inter-office communicator system. And you have to make sure that you know that HR is reading that. And that's not always a good look. And yes, sometimes you want to say something or want to complain about something or whatever it might be, but that's a personal conversation that you use your personal cell phone for. Anything you put on a work database is monitored. Anything you do on your work laptop is monitored. The amount of time you spend online shopping on your work laptop during the day, that's monitored. So you want to be very, very careful. And then when it comes to Instagram and Facebook, any picture you post can be sent anywhere. Back in college, I was in a sorority, and we had a rule that no matter how old you were, didn't matter if you were 21 or not, you were never allowed to post a picture with a red Solo cup. And if you did, you actually got sent to standards, which is like a whole discussion, and you get in trouble, and it's a whole thing. But that's just to protect you, and you want to make sure that the image you're putting online is an image you're okay with your grandparents seeing.
That's right, and we try to instill that in all of the children in our house, and I think parents try to do that too, but parents also have to be mindful of the pictures that they post as well. They forget how powerful social media can be. But so we're getting some great advice from you, Mindy. This is our dads and daughters session that we're doing today. We've got to take a quick break. We got one more session left. I know you've got a couple other questions that you want to bounce off of me and we can talk about when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local Program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above. I was about to say Alto Forno Restaurant, but it's now Daniela's Ristorante. If you haven't been there, check it out. The best garlic bread anywhere. I'm actually already excited because I'm going there on Saturday. Saturday night, I'll be back there again. We just love going there. I'll be there. 7:15 is my reservation. If you happen to be there, swing by, say hello, or wave from afar, because they do a great job keeping everybody still socially distanced. They do a great job keeping all of the health standards that are fabulous in the restaurants. And love to see you there and enjoy their food. I'm joined here in studio today with my daughter, Mindy. We're doing a dads and daughters talk. And before I go to our last question or last issue that we want to talk about, because we've only got about 8 minutes left in the show today, I want to remind people about our free weekly newsletter that we put out each and every Sunday. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman. To easenadfinancial.com, go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you will get signed up for the newsletter. It's three short little stories, 100 words or less, and it provides financial advice in a language you can understand. And unlike many of these other types of financial institutions that encourage you to sign up for a newsletter as a ploy so that they can start calling you to ask you to become a client, folks, I'm not going to do that. If you want to work with Friedman Financial, if you want to learn more about our firm, you can give us a call when you're ready, when the time is right for you, when it's time to get serious about your financial planning. If you want to learn more about our firm, visit the website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. But for now, if you want, just sign up for the newsletter. Go to the bottom of any page on our website, put in your name and your email address, and you'll get some great financial advice in a language you can understand. But today, we're getting some great financial advice and some financial thinking from my daughter, Mindy. And I know, Mindy, you had some other thoughts that you wanted to share this morning.
Well, I know we were talking kind of before the show about what is advice that I've gotten from the family in terms of how to spend money, how to save money. And I think what's really interesting is because obviously my dad is a financial advisor and I'm the oldest of five kids. This was kind of a dinner conversation. Every day at dinner, we talked about money and we talked about what was going on in the world. And yeah, when I was a child, I didn't know what the S&P 500 meant or what the markets were. But I actually remember exactly where I was in 2008. I was maybe 12 or 13 at the time.
You were about to be bar mitzvah, is what it was.
And I remember being in Disney, and I was actually dancing in Disney. And I remember my dad being stressed and trying to explain to us what was happening. But it's interesting because a lot of people from my age group don't remember a lot about that. And because we've had such good exposure to the financial industry from such a young age, I think me and my siblings are very financially savvy.
Well, I would agree. And I think one of the things that Mom and I did for you guys back when we used to write checks, okay? I mean, most of the payments that we make now is all on the internet. We pay through our apps. But we were very willing to expose you guys if you wanted to sit around the table with us as Mom and I would pay the bills. And so the envelopes would come in, whether it was from the mortgage company or the electric company or the cable company, whatever it was, and you would open up the envelope. I don't know if I remember you doing it. I remember Corey doing it with me and a couple others. They'd open up the envelope and they'd tell me what the bill was, who it was from. Let's say it was from National Grid or from whoever the mortgage company was at the time. And then they'd tell me how much money it was for, and we'd write the check together, and I'd show them how to write the check. But they began to appreciate how much money actually comes out of the household. Do you remember doing that at all?
So I remember more so when I moved into my first apartment and we got our electricity bill and it was maybe $100 for the month. And I was like, oh my God, that is so much money I'm paying for an electricity bill. And I called you and I was like, is this right? I feel like I'm not supposed to be paying this much for electricity. And you laughed at me and you were like, yeah, $100 for your 1,000-square-foot apartment, you're fine. So I think that was kind of my first exposure to it, but you brought up Corey. Corey is my youngest brother, so he's actually 7 years younger than me, but he has always been very fascinated with how money works. So when we were younger and we would go to Disney World, our family loves Disney. I'm actually wearing a Mickey Mouse jacket right now.
That you stole from your sister.
Yes, that I stole from my sister's closet that I was hoping to keep a secret, but oops. Guess not. But when we would go to Disney when we were younger, you can do this thing where you get Disney dollars. So basically you just go to one of the stores and you pay $20 and they give you a $20 like Tinkerbell dollar bill or whatever. And when we were younger, my parents used to give us each Disney dollars and that was our budget for the trip. So when I was like 8, Corey must've been like 1. So maybe he wasn't there yet. Let's say Corey was 4. We learned how to budget very early on because if you wanted to get a souvenir for yourself, for your friends back at home, if you want to get a sweatshirt, whatever it was, you had the money and you had to figure out how to spend it. And Corey's always been the most fascinated with that, and he does an excellent job. He actually works at Lobster Tail down in North Andover, and he's always so proud of himself whenever he gets his paycheck. And it's funny because he makes like a couple $100 a week, and he does an excellent job saving his money. He does an excellent job figuring out what makes sense to spend, and he does great.
Now, you know what Corey also understands the value of is customer service.
Yeah.
He gets that really well. I mean, look, he's been managing the window at the B'nai B'rith booth that we talk about. You know, Laura and I run the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair, though we didn't do it last year. Hopefully it will be open in October. But Corey's been managing that window, I think, since he was 12 years old, because he really understands that you need to connect with people. And he does that really well. He connects both with the employees and with the customers. You've seen him do that.
Yeah. Corey's a good kid. We like him. We'll keep him around.
We do like him, and we're just keeping our fingers crossed that he gets into Babson College. He has applied there, and he'd love to follow in your footsteps, I know.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait and see, and we're hoping that if he gets in, and I'm hoping he gets in, we got a great story to share with you, but we're going to wait until we get good news, right, Mindy?
Yeah, I hope good news is coming.
Yeah,
we have a long history of Babson, so.
We do. My dad went there, I went there, you went there.
Yeah, I actually still do interviews for prospective students there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do Corey's interview, obviously. But hopefully everything works out there.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed. But, you know, Mindy, I sit here and I'm sure people that are listening to the show sit here saying, are you sure she's just 24 years old? you know, you come across with such grace and professionalism, and you articulate your words so well, and you've thought things through so much. In the last minute or two that we have here on the show, are there any last pieces, words of wisdom that you'd like to share with listeners about money advice, things that they should be thinking of if they have a child that's around your age?
I think just being transparent with your kids about money and listening to their concerns, listening to their questions, and providing them sound advice and being honest about what needs to happen, how much they should be saving, are they allowed to spend? I know my grandmother, every time I talk to her, she has always told us the importance of spending, but every single time we talk, the importance of saving, but every single time we talk, she wants to make sure that you also take time to spend money, because it's not fun if you just save everything that you get. And yes, that's important to save a lot, but it's okay to spend something for yourself too.
You know, that's an interesting perspective, because I know that all our lives, I mean, I think we've always been told the importance of saving for the future. But when finally you hit that point in your life when you're retired and the paycheck is stopped and you now have Social Security coming in and perhaps you have a pension, but now it's up to you to spend your money because there's no more paycheck coming in. One of the challenges is that people don't know how to do it because they've really never spent their own money. They've only spent what's coming through the paycheck. And you have to get used to spending money on a regular basis as well as saving money. Saving is important, but so too is it important to get to used to get used to spending not just the money that comes from your paycheck, perhaps sometimes some of the money that's in your savings.
Yeah. And I think that's, we talked a little bit earlier on in the show about how I am planning on purchasing a condo. And that's interesting because it's really the first time I'm going to be using any part of my savings.
Right.
I'm very good about just putting it away and not thinking about it. But yeah, it's important to make sure that you're also enjoying the money that you make. And especially if you've worked really hard to have a good job or whatever it might be, you want to make sure that you're enjoying it.
Well, you did a great job today, Mindy. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And geez, I think we should have you back. I think you were really great. But we've got to get out of here and make room for Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. Scott's got a whole list and lineup of great restaurants to support, great restaurants to visit, whether it's takeout, whether it's dining in, whether it's ordering online. Scott has the list. He has all the great places to go to. Last week, we talked about Ellie's Farmhouse that I love going to for breakfast. I don't know where we're going to go for breakfast today. But we've got to get out of here. Make room for Scott. Have a great day, everybody. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Invest- investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.